Hello and welcome to Subruko Forgotten Classics.
Hello, welcome to Subruko.
Hello.
Hello and welcome to Subruko Forgotten Classics. This is the little addendum, a little bonus filler, a little
the appendix.
Appendix where we talk about the actual plot as it's revealed to us. This one is Stranger in a Strange Land. We were given only the character names and the first and the last line. And this is the one I knew the least about. I didn't know the author. I didn't know when. And when I saw the first line, that's how we all saw the first line and realized that would be a good one because I didn't even know it was about a Martian.
Yeah, I didn't either. I knew the author, but that's it. Oh, I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
I'm Matt Gourley.
I'm James Bladen.
I'm Mark McConville. Now, this one I read a little tiny bit about it, unlike the rest of you.
What was it you knew?
I knew in this.
Well, should we say what it is about first?
Sure.
All right. I have it right here.
Oh, you do. Go.
Humankind sends its first human expedition to Mars. The spaceship's crew arrives on the planet. They're never heard from again. 25 years later, another mission is sent. Child of two of the first ship's crew members who has been born on Mars and raised by the peculiar Martian race is discovered and brought back to Earth. I guess that's why he has a human name. Because of various legal precedents, Valentine Michael Smith, the man from Mars, is the inheritor to a vast fortune. Because of another precedent known as the Larkin decision, Mike has a claim to legal ownership of the planet Mars. What?
I'm into this book. I want to read this. What year was this made?
1961.
Back when Martians could be real.
Therefore, he has the potential to be massively influential in matters of Earth politics. He's kept under close guard at a hospital by the leader of Earth's government, Secretary General Joseph Douglas. In the hospital, Mike slowly teaches his body to adapt to the Earth's atmosphere. He begins learning Earth culture and language, which differ enormously from Martian ways of thought. An ambitious reporter, Ben Caxton, believes that Douglas is using Mike as a pawn in his own political power games and may be planning to kill him.
Wait a minute. So is he a Russian reporter? But
Ben enlists his friend and old flame, Jill Boardman. We didn't even get to Jill Boardman. She's a nurse at the hospital to help him spy on Mike's treatment in the hospital. Ben lets on to the authorities that he has a notion of their plan. They kidnap him.
We did get to Jill Boardman.
It was you.
Jillian Boardman.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Oh. Name is spelled differently. When police officers try to kidnap them as well, Mike makes the officers disappear from existence. One of many psychic powers Mike has learned on Mars. Our Martian had zero powers.
Oh, yeah. He had
power to die.
And carry a gem around.
That's right.
He was an emissary.
He did sculpt a device to align the planets.
I would have thought ours would have been more fantastic than the original book, but it's not. Like, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Jubal Harshaw was a famous doctor, lawyer, writer, and general cultural phenomenon. His three beautiful secretaries are Anne, Miriam, and Dorcas. And his two male assistants are Duke and Larry.
Wait, Dorcas is a human name?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So this is what I knew about the book. I knew that he was a human being born on Mars and brought back to Earth. But I did not know that he was the sole owner of Mars
and
who's protected and all of that. Like, that's cool.
The owner of Mars.
Right? Well, I mean,
that's amazing. Well, legally, I do have the ownership of Mars.
I guess so. Well, though we're burying the lead. Who the hell is Dr. Stinky Mahmood?
Oh, let's see if he shows up in this synopsis.
I gotta know why he's named Stinky.
I'm
trying
him.
To find it in here in the old Wikipedia.
Yeah. He's not in the one that I have here.
What?
Seems like a major misstep to not have him be a huge part of the
novel.
Well,
I mean, he's all I want to hear about.
There's stuff in the Wikipedia entry about him giving a lot of money to a church. Very strange.
60 what? What year was
61.
It? 61. So yeah, that's still like Twilight Zone era.
Oh, somebody on some sci-fi message board, somebody asked, in Stranger in a Strange Land by Heinlein, why is Dr. Mahmood nicknamed Stinky? There aren't any mentions there of his shower habit or lack thereof that I found. Plus, he seems like a rather high-class individual, not of the type who would be particularly smelly.
Yahoo Answers replies, damn, because everyone's stinky.
They just kind of keep calling him Stinky, and he never seems to mind.
What?
Anyone know why?
So I'm on the Wikipedia page right now, and it says Dr. Mahmood, nicknamed Stinky, semanticist of Arab descent and devout Muslim, the second human after Mike to gain a working knowledge of the Martian language, though he does not, quote, grok, unquote, the language.
He doesn't get it.
Understand it.
Understand
it. So we at least gave Stinky Mahmood more character foundation than Hyland did by making him stinky.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we keep improving these books. I'm sorry that Robert A. Heinlein forgot to include the part where they say, oh, we call him stinky because he stinks.
Let's very briefly talk about some of the other runners-up that we were considering. The Martian Chronicles, mm-hmm. The Stand. But did you know that one?
No.
Stephen I would
King,
love to
I,
do that.
I was pushing for The Stand
oh,
because
me too.
It's supposed to, that's the book that everyone tells you is Stephen King's best book. That's the if you say, like, oh, I'm not a Stephen King fan, like, oh, you got it. Did you read The Stand? You got to read The Stand. I have no idea what it's about, where it's set, anything.
May
but,
I?
And it also turned up. But Mark, shut up. It also turned up.
No, Paul, shut up. If we do it again.
Matt, shut up.
Okay.
If we do another one.
James, shut up. It also turns up on both the science fiction and the horror lists.
I'm going to tell you right now, I've never read The Stand. I don't know a goddamn thing about it.
So none of us have read The Stand.
No.
Let's do The Stand.
All okay. Right now.
If we do more. Jesus. What else classics-wise were we did we look at?
I don't know. I always thought Tale of Two Cities is a good...
Yeah. It's,
those are the classic first last lines. You know it too well.
I don't know it so well. I've never read it. I don't think I've read it. Did I read it in school? I can't remember. Mm. But I know the basic idea. That it's almost a Prince and the Pauper kind of thing where it's two guys that look alike.
Right.
Yeah.
Is that so, too much to know?
That's
yeah.
probably
well,
too much.
Yeah, and they switch places and the one dies in the other's place.
Well, now it's gone.
Right, okay.
Sorry.
I have a suggestion.
Spoiler alarm!
Everyone poops.
What about like a book of the Bible?
Well, yeah, that's what I keep saying.
Well, we did talk about that. A book
James
of the Bible.
James keeps saying it.
He won't
no
shut
one
up.
Wants to hear me.
And a Shakespeare.
I feel like nature yeah. and...
Shakespeare and Bible. Maybe we'll go real old school if we do a volume two. Shakespeare, Bible, and...
We did talk about some epic poems, and
that's
I feel
right.
like
yeah.
my dumb college education had me read The Iliad, The Odyssey, The
Gilgamesh.
Epic of Gilgamesh.
I don't know Beowulf.
Beowulf.
Do you guys know Beowulf?
I read Beowulf.
Beowulf. You know Beowulf?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know it that well, but I think the
I just know Angelina Jolie's in it.
The sort of kernel.
That's why my dad went to see it, by the way.
Oh, boy.
My elderly father went to see this 3D cartoon because he had heard that it was very realistic animation and that there was nudity in it. Way to go, Dad.
Let's end on that. Thank you, everyone, for listening.